Good morning, brothers and sisters and friends. Certainly good to see all of you here. Thanks for being here. Sorry this Bible school has to come to an end so soon. It seems like the last week has gone by just like that to me. You know, we have a sign here on, I'd like to change that a little bit. Can you read it? Well, glad you're all here from other ecclesias. That really does build you up to see people come from other places when we all preach and teach the same thing, and it really helps me a lot, I know. I decided to teach this class this morning on something that we're all very well acquainted with, a little four-letter word, W-O-R-K. If one of these will write, I'll write it up here. As we all know, there are two kinds of work. The work that we do to make a living, the work that we are acquainted with when we toil with our hands. There's nothing wrong with it, because after Adam sinned, God told him, from the sweat of your face you'll eat bread. So I know what that's all about, and I'm sure you do as well. There's another kind of work then that is a work that is called working in the Master's vineyard, working in the truth, working to build ourselves up, and working really to help others as well. And work is something that we don't shy away from, and someone might ask the question, well, if I were baptized and needed to work, what should I do? Well, that's a good question, so I'll give you a good answer. You know what the fruit of the Spirit is, so that's what the work is all about after a person is baptized, and you need to do the work that God has cut out for you. And then we're all acquainted with that scripture that says, study to show yourselves approved of God, a workman or woman or sister or brother that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that rightly dividing is easy to say, but sometimes it's difficult to do. There's a saying that a shrewd person, a wise person, always agrees with you. So I think that I have the truth down pretty pat, and there are others out there that have it probably down a lot more pat or complete than I. But whatever the case might be, to continue, and that continue is something that is, again, easy to say, but sometimes hard to do. So there are times when sometimes we call it getting up on the wrong side of the bed. We feel like we're kind of down in the dumps, and we're kind of wake up angry or whatever the case might be, and Other times then when we get up, we feel like we're up and ready to do whatever is at hand. So our frail mortal bodies are built like that. There are times when we sometimes are real easily provoked. Sometimes we're on the edge of saying and doing things that we shouldn't say and do. And then maybe we're real sorry about it. We feel bad that we slipped and fell. And that's the way it should be, because we can't live a perfect life, no way. But when we do fail, don't let us drag us down and forget our duty so far as what we're supposed to do. And then when we keep our own house clean, like me, if I work out my own salvation, that's what it's all about, maybe then I might be able to help someone else. But if I can't straighten my own self out, then it might be hard for me to help anyone else if they had a problem. So the world is full of advice. And there's two kinds of advice, good and bad. Two kinds of work, good and bad. And the kind of work that we're supposed to be doing in the Master's vineyard is supposed to be according to His Word. God said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So that Word of God is something that is supposed to guide us as far as our walk, or our work, if you want to put it that way, is concerned in the name of Christ. And you can look in the first part of the book of Revelation there to the advice that was given to the ecclesias, we'll call them. And many times it starts out saying, "I know thy works." Well, let me tell you this. He knows our works too, and He knows the works in your ecclesia, my ecclesia, and all of the ecclesias in the brotherhood. And ecclesias are made up of individuals that work within the ecclesia. And when ecclesias are doing what is right in the sight of God, it's because of the individuals that are in that ecclesia, or those ecclesias that are doing what's right. And if you would give yourself a test in your ecclesia, or in our ecclesia, if the angel should be here now, say, he'd come now and say, "I know your works," what do you think he'd say? Do you think he'd brag on us and say, "Well, you're really doing good"? Or do you think he might say, "I have somewhat against you because of what? Well, because of what somebody has done, or maybe some group has done." So whatever that reason might be, if you think about it, I'd like to tell you and ask you to do your part in trying to mend it up and get it so it would be in shape, that when the Master comes, He would say that your ecclesia or my ecclesia is doing a good job. Your work is okay. Now that, again, is easy to say, but that is sometimes really difficult. Because, you know, not everybody agrees with me on certain things in the Scriptures. I have my ideas about things, and other brothers and sisters have theirs as well. Sometimes we have differences that are minor, and we sort of brush them aside and say, well, that doesn't make a whole lot of difference about how you believe about that or how you look at it. We won't make an issue of it. And other times then there are things that say, well, that is a bigger obstacle. We have to figure that one out and talk about it. And when we get to the meat part of it and talking about it, sometimes that's where difficulties arise. And like I said, when people don't agree with me, then I say that I'm right and probably you're wrong. Well, let's turn it around then the other way. Maybe you're right and I'm wrong. So let's go to the Word and see if we can decide what the Word would have us both to do. You know, brothers and sisters, we might both be wrong. But we can't both be right if we're not agreeing. So we need to agree on what to do and how to do, and let our work in our ecclesias be found acceptable in the sight of the Almighty God. Sometimes people have what we call perceptions. Get it in your idea about something that is maybe real or maybe not real. I'll give you a little example. There was an old rancher. He had plenty of money and he didn't have to worry about things, and he had a real pretty young wife. And they were at the cattlemen's convention, and she said, "Honey, I'd like to have a little money and go shopping. I don't want to go to these boring meetings." So he said, okay. So he gave her some money and she went shopping. And after the meeting, she came back and said, "Oh, I had a good time. I bought this nice dress." And the old rancher had a perception. He said, if I'd have given her a little more money, she could have bought one with a back in it. So sometimes our perception about things is maybe a little off course some way. So I have a lot of scriptures here that I'd like to go over as we go through this class about working. Ecclesiastes 3:22 says, "Rejoice in your own works." So if you're going to rejoice in your own works, brothers and sisters, they better be good. Because if you're rejoicing in something that is wrong, then you're on the wrong track. Psalms 133. "Brethren, to dwell in unity." You know, that is works. We all work to be in unity. And then Psalms 15, 1 and 2 says, "Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that worketh righteousness." Okay, there we come to working again. "Worketh righteousness." And then it lists things about not biting with your tongue, and all of those things. You can read it and see how you're supposed to do if you want to abide in His tabernacle. A perception again about what that tabernacle is. Matthew 11 and 28. "Come unto me, all you that labor." That's work. And they're heavy laden. So I'll tell you how I feel. When I come to a Bible school like this, or when I come to Sunday meeting and I hear a good exhortation or a good Sunday school class, it feels like a heavy load has been lifted off of my back, and I feel like I could just almost fly. It's really a good feeling. It's a good feeling to feel that you're near and close to your Maker. So when you think about lifting the load off, you remember that scripture that says, the sin that does so easily beset us. When we all get back home and we start our daily work, it'll probably be the same as it's always been. Maybe we've made mistakes. Maybe we'll keep on making mistakes, and I'm sure we will. Nobody can be perfect. But by all means, try. I can remember my mother told me when I was a little boy, said, don't ever say I can't, because I can't never did do anything, but I will try has done wonders. So that made a mark on me, and I'll try, and I hope we can all try. And you know, when you come to that word try, God don't tempt us, but He does try us. So we're on trial. And when we are tried, sometimes it tells us to be rejoiceful when we are fall into diverse temptations. But don't be rejoiceful if you fall into temptations and yield to it, because when you yield to temptation, you're on the wrong track. And I'm going to say this, and I believe I can prove it by the Bible, that our Lord and Savior never did do one act of sin, but I believe He was lustful. That's a pretty hard word. Because right after He was baptized, when He was taken up there on the mountain, He was tempted. And there's nothing wrong with temptation, but there's something wrong with temptation if you yield to it. So He was tempted by the three lusts: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And He didn't yield to it. So He did have clean flesh so far as personal sins were concerned. He never did to do one act of sin. But you know what? He was born of an unclean woman. Again, hard words. She was a virgin, all right, but you remember what it says in Romans 5:12? Starts out, wherefore, kind of a funny way to start it, but wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered in the world, and death by sin, so death is passed upon all, for that all have sinned. That included Christ. So He was born under the law of sin and death. And He was mortal, or He wouldn't have had to die. And when we think about the examples that He set for us and the things that the Bible teaches us about His life, and we say we're walking or working with Christ, He's our elder brother, He's up there watching us right now, He knows what's going on, and He's in control. So let us try to be also in control of ourselves. Sometimes I really fail. I tell you, sometimes I get really mad at myself because it is hard sometimes. But on the other hand, when you think about what David said, for Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. So if God be for us, or if He's with us, then we're on the right track, and we want to keep ourselves on the right track. Proverbs 10 and 16 says, "The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. The fruit of the wicked is sin." So again, talks about work or labor. And we're told that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Then when we come to Luke 15, 21 to 30, and it talks about that example about the prodigal son. And you young people, this is not something that you want to say, well, I'll go ahead and sow my wild oats, so to speak, or do whatever is wrong. When I'm baptized, it'll all be wiped out anyway, so what's the difference? That's not what God asks of you. And your parents are supposed to be trying to bring you up right and teach you what's right and what's wrong. And my advice to you would be to do your best to try to live it just like if you were baptized. And then when you do put on the name, it'll be a lot easier than it was if you go the other way. Because that broad way is sure tempting. And it, just like a magnet, it just draws you away and away when you want to be in the straight and narrow, but you stagger and go wrong. So this prodigal son, he went off and he really blew it. When he came back, my, his dad was glad to see him. And I can imagine how glad he was. And he killed the fatted calf. And then his brother, he's kind of jealous about it. We know how it was. He said, "I've been here with you all the time, done all this good work and all of these good things, and you haven't killed no calf for me. What's the big deal?" He went off and blew it, and now he's come back, and you have really taken him in. So he gave some good advice. He said, "Son, you've been here with me all of this time. You've been faithful. I love you, and you've been a good boy. And there was no reason to kill the fatted calf for you. Everything I've got is yours, and you know it, and that's the way it is. But this, your brother, was lost, and now he's found. He came back." So that's an example. Be really glad and cheerful when somebody does come back. Sometimes brothers and sisters stray out of the path and they'll stray off, and it's sure hard to get them to come back. You can beg and maybe plead. Sometimes it's just like talking to a brick wall, but sometimes you'll sow a seed and sometimes they will come back. And when they do, it is certainly a rejoicing affair, because you feel like a load has been lifted off of you, and also a load has been lifted off of them as well. How long am I supposed to talk? Can I have some more time or not? All right, good. God labored 6 days. He worked. Whatever that was. When Moses wrote Genesis, if he wrote it, and I guess he did, somebody did, and they say it's Moses, so if he wrote it, said, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth," and then when all of the 6 days, I think that was literal days, daylight and dark, it talks about, and he worked. And God said, and whatever he said, then that happened. And then at the end of 6 days, he finished his work, or the one translation says he rested, and another said that he finished his work, or it was complete. And I believe, and has been pointed out in this Bible school, that we're living in the last part of that six-day period. When Brother Jim gave us that talk on prophecy, it makes you feel like, my goodness, Israel's sitting over there, and they're God's chosen people, and they're the apple of His eye. And one of these days, just like that, He's going to come back to this earth without sin unto salvation. And my, how different it's going to be. And I was talking to another brother here, and there where it says, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, I believe there's more to it than we have ever considered, because we look at the colors and the, whatever the colors are and the rainbow and all of that. And in the kingdom, there may be colors that we never even thought or dreamed about. I have not seen. And then the things that we hear, I'm told that little insects make noises, but we can't hear them. They're so fine that we don't understand them. And I believe that animals communicate, and they make noises that we don't understand, but they do. And I don't know how, but an animal can discern the weather. Thelma and I can look out, and if we say, oh, there's a bunch of turkeys in the field, it's going to storm. And nearly every time it will. And I don't know how they can tell, but they can. And when it storms, we don't know how long it's going to last. We don't know whether it's going to last a few hours or several days or what. But they know how to gather in and be ready for a big storm. I know one time it come a big snow, a deep snow. And I got my shotgun and I went out, and it had been on for several days, and I finally found some turkey tracks where they'd been flopping along in the snow, and I trailed them up. And I killed one, and I thought, I wonder what in the world that turkey has been eating. And his craw was just as full of acorns as it could be. I guess he'd stored them up in there for that storm, because there wasn't no way he could found those acorns in that deep snow. So that's nature. God takes care of things like that. It's sometimes hard to explain. I want to find some more things here in the Bible. Psalms 14 and 1. They have done abominable works. So I told you to begin with, work, there's good and bad, and the works that are abominable are bad works. So that's a sin. And the only way that we know sin is what the Bible says. If it says we can do it and it's okay, and it says we can't, then that's a no-no. Matthew 23 and 3, but do not ye after their works. So the society today in this period that we live in is full of bad works. And we're not supposed to go after those bad works. And when I was a boy, people say things now that was a no-no then. And when you listen to things on television, sometimes they use bad language. And I believe that's a sin in God's sight. And if we're soaking it in and enjoying it, I believe it's wrong for us too. So, brothers and sisters, beware. It's serious business, serious talk. Matthew 5:16 says that they may see your good works. So what is good works? You know what Solomon said? A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. So if you have a good name in the brotherhood, or in your neighborhood, or in your ecclesia, then that's rather to be chosen than great riches. So a good name is something that, when your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, like I said once before, there was a cowboy, a real good one, and he is a brother, and I did the funeral service for him, and I said, I believe this brother had rather have his name written in the Lamb's Book of Life than to be written in the Cowboy Hall of Fame. And that's right, because that's the way he lived his life. John 6:28, that we might work the work of God. Yeah, there's work to do out there. And it certainly does me a lot of good to see younger people take a hold of the truth like they have. When we went on that hayride, and all of those young people singing, and the flames flashing out and the stars shining, I'll tell you, that gives you a feeling that is hard to describe. It's something that touches you deep inside. So God knew what was going on then, and He knows what's going on every instant. And when we think about the power that these computers have, it makes us kind of realize the omnipotent power of the great God of Israel. James 2:17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. So when we're summoned to the judgment seat of Christ, Sister Mary Morris told me right after I was baptized that He won't ask you, what do you believe? He knows what your faith is. He knows what you believe, or you wouldn't be there. But He's going to say, what have you done? And we'll all be summoned before that judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds done. That's work in body, according to that, what He has done, whether it be good or bad. So we might say, in one sense of the word, we're working our way into the kingdom of God. And in another way, then, we look at it, you can't say, well, okay, I've earned it now, it's mine, so give it to me. It's by the mercies and the grace of God that anybody will get it, but it's certainly going to be by the works that that grace and mercy is determined by. So when the individuals are judged there at His judgment seat, I don't know how long it'll take. I don't know whether we'll be visiting around there while that's going on, or whether we'll be standing there shaking in our boots. But whenever you think about the works that we have done after we have put on the name, that's the things that are going to determine sheep or goats, right or left. And when the separation takes place, it is final. That's the final note. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all His holy angels with Him, then shall He sit on the throne of His glory. Before Him shall be gathered all nations, or people out of all nations. He'll separate them as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Separation. Serious business, serious talk, serious thinking. I'll say this too. Faith is something that is a mental affair. Faith is something that is in our head. And works is both mental and physical. Because study to show yourselves approved of God. So that is mental. And then the physical part of it is what we do every day. So the works that we do, the works of righteousness, are the works that when the parable says, and the books were opened, and another book, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. So there's a ledger being kept of your work, of our work, and you'll be judged out of that ledger. And by all means, I hope and pray that none of us will have our name blotted out of that book of life. I'll quit on that note. Thank you.
We'll just close the Sunday school portion with a closing prayer by our brother Joe.
Our most righteous and merciful eternal God, our Father in heaven, we're truly thankful that we can all come together this first day of the week to be with our loved ones, to hear Thy word, and most of all, to remember Thy Son. We ask that You would continue to bless each and every one of us and continue to bless this Bible school. Father, we pray that You would be with all of those that are traveling. Watch over and guide them. And please help each and every one of us to take the things that we have learned and heard this week and apply them to our lives. And Father, we pray that when Thy Son returns to this earth to reestablish Thy kingdom, that through Your grace and mercy, we might, each and every one of us, find a part in Your kingdom. We thank You for all things. We realize that all things come from Thee. And these things we ask and offer in the name of Thy Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.